Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus' words in the gospel today are, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." My dear friends in Christ, I'm not sure of what the first thing that crossed your mind this morning when you saw the sermon title, "Can You Hear Me Now?" But it was probably that guy with the black glasses and the tan coat that now I understand is working for the competition. He used to stand in the middle of nowhere and say, "Can you hear me now?" on his cell phone over and over and over again. You know, we live in a world where it's hard to hear. There's a lot of distractions all around us. It's difficult to really pay attention to what someone else is actually saying. Then President Franklin Roosevelt often endured those White House greeting lines where people would come through and say their niceties as they went by. Well, President Roosevelt decided that no one really listens to what you say anyway. So as the line was funneling through, he said these words, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Responses were marvelous. "Keep up the good work. We are so proud of you. God bless you, Mr. President." It wasn't until the very end of the receiving line that the Bolivian Prime Minister came through, and when he said the words, "I killed my grandmother this morning," he leaned forward and whispered in his ear, "She must have had it coming to her." With that said, I challenge you this morning to listen to these words of Jesus. "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Hearing those words, you might get the impression that being a Christian is easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Just walk the walk. Jesus is carrying the load. There's nothing for me to do. But then Jesus ups the ante. He says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Not the kind of words I was expecting to hear from Jesus. The one who says, "Love your enemies as yourself," and all that other stuff. Now he's telling us to hate our own families. But the question becomes, whatever for? After all, at times it seems like being a Christian is a piece of cake. After all, the Bible is full of all these really cool stories. And if you get the right Bible, they come with pictures. Who doesn't want to read God's Word? Oh, and by the way, you get to come to a place like this and sing songs, and some of them you even know. And you get to receive the Lord's Supper and hang out with other Christians. What's so hard about that? In fact, we should long to do that. Doesn't the Bible say that we are to rejoice in the Lord always? And isn't it comforting to know that when you pray, Jesus is listening and he answers your prayers? And yet, times come when it seems so very difficult to live a Christian life. You know, the whole thing idea about forgiving your enemies. I mean, literally forgiving them. And not holding their sins against them, but doing the Jesus thing, forgiving and completely forgetting all about it, it's hard. Or how about when you go through those valleys of the shadow of death in your own life and you hear your voice say, "Thy will be done." And you're thinking to yourself, "I don't like your will. Give me something else, Lord, because this ain't working for me." It seems so difficult to be a Christian when you hear Jesus say to his Father, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." It's tough to say. In fact, it's even tougher to live out. Being a Christian is not easy. That word of God is planted in your heart, and for some it's like throwing seed on the highway. The birds come along and gobble it up as if it was never there. And others, that seed is cast out and it grows up, but the weeds of life kind of entangle it and pull it down, and it kind of fades away. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian, because there are times when that word of God is planted and the pressures and the heat of the life in which we live get so hot that we just wither up and slowly but surely just pass away. So what is it? Is it easy being a Christian? Or is it difficult? This morning Jesus tells you. First, Jesus warns his disciples not to think that they can be his true followers by just following him around. In other words, there's an old saying that going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger, any more than going to church necessarily makes a person a Christian. There's all those externals that everyone else sees. We notice who goes to church and who doesn't, who comes forward to receive the sacrament, who folds their hands, who speaks prayers, who reads their Bibles, who supports the work of the church, who sings the hymns. It's all evident on the outside. In fact, we can look and see who's avoiding the gross, the big sins in life. And we begin to think to ourselves, what is there so difficult about all of this? I can do it all. Indeed, there's some people that join the church just because, quite honestly, there's advantages to being here. There are. There are some churches where it's a who's who. You go in and there's Dr. So-and-so, and believe me, they got to go to church somewhere. But some people are just attracted to it because of the people that's there, the networking that's available. And completely missing Jesus. Just so today, there are many who imagine that they're Christians because they're baptized. And they're confirmed. They go to church. They participate in all the external things. But yet there is no faith in the heart. Think of Judas. He was in Jesus' presence. He was one of the chosen 12. But when push come to shove, he hanged himself in despair. This morning you may be baptized as a child of God, either as a child or as an adult, by sprinkling, immersion, or simply by splashing of water. Yet still not be a Christian. You may come to the sacrament and receive it faithfully, but still have no faith in the heart. Come to church every time the lights are on. Read your Bible. Even pray. Spending hours upon your knees praying in intercession for others. Even contributing more than a tenth of your wage to the support of the ministry. But yet still not be a part of God's family. I know what you're thinking, Pastor, man, that's harsh. Because the things you just described are more than I do, and I believe that I believe, and that I'm a part of the family of God. So what is it? Am I in or am I out? How am I a part of what Christ has planted here on earth? Well, some are not so coarse or so foolish to imagine that external practices make them a part of the family of God. But there are some who believe that Christianity is simply a matter of the heart, and they must actually obey the commandments of God, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And if I do that, it's enough. They therefore strive to participate in all the externals, but more importantly, to fulfill the law that God has commanded. Perhaps that's you today. My simple question would be, how's it going? Chances are, if you're honest with yourself, to look in the mirror of God's law, Pastor, I'm doing my best. I'm trying as hard as I can. But God's word never told us, try not to steal. Really, try to control your sinful thoughts. Do your best not to gossip about other people. And for all means, work hard at loving your neighbor as yourself. And then that's enough. But then St. James tells us, if we keep the whole law and yet stumble at just one point, we're guilty of breaking it all. No comfort is found there. Christianity is more than trying. Let me ask you a question. If you hired someone to build you a house and they tried but didn't finish, would you pay them? Or if you hired a woman to do a task, whatever it may be, and she was unable to complete it, would you compensate her? See, the reality is, we live in a world that sees fulfillment of the law as a means of salvation. It's kind of like a beggar walking into a bank and seeing a rich millionaire stand there writing a check and then sliding across the counter, and the gold coins are given over. And the beggar thinks to himself, man, that's pretty cool. I'm going to write me up one of those there checks. I'm going to slide across the counter and I'm going to get 2 years in prison. I cannot earn my salvation. Again, there are still some who realize they're falling short of God's glory as they disobey God's commandments. They realize the fact that they truly are sinners and fall short of who God has called them to be. They think by giving to the poor and assisting those in need and building the church and all these other things are the things that I give for myself, I'm a part of God's family. They too are trying to make Christianity way too easy. See, no, you can't make it for yourself. You can't earn it for yourself. What is it that makes being a Christian so hard? Jesus is the one that died. But so often we look at his cross and say it's not enough. There's something that, there's my contribution. I begin to look and say, what is it that I do? How do I live? How do I earn it? Well, dear friends, today is a great day to stop the foolishness. See, the reality is that Luther could not earn salvation by his good works. It only led to despair. And the Apostle Paul? Oh, the Apostle Paul says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I cannot earn salvation by the law. Listen to Jesus' words. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was unable to finish. And what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, will send a delegation asking for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. My dear friends, your case is not hopeless. It is easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ when you have a Savior. Let him take the curse of the law in your place. Let him shackle you with the cross and then lift both you and the cross. Let him be Jesus. Let him be your Savior, your Redeemer. Learn first of all what it means to be a Christian. See, being a Christian means to recognize who I am. And although you said it, I don't know if you really listened to the words this morning, but you confessed those words to the effect, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." But did you mean it? "I cannot help myself." But did you mean it? Being a Christian is to learn from King David, "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me," or to confess with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from the body of death?" That's what it means to be a Christian, to recognize who you are. If you've ever taken lifeguarding, to serve at a pool to rescue other people, one of the first things they tell you is, be aware of trying to save people who are thrashing in the water. In fact, I've heard it said, let them first stop swimming. Before you ever grab a hold of them, or they'll pull you both down. As I thought about that, I said, what a great illustration for being a Christian. Quit thrashing about. Allow Jesus Christ to lift you up. Let him do what Jesus does. Save you. Each day, stand before the mirror and said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, like me, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Whereas the Apostle Paul told the jailer in Philippi, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Simply believe. But some will suggest, but Pastor, are you kidding me? Just believe? Just trust in him? That's really all there is? It's not as easy as it looks. There are a lot of voices in the world that will speak other words to you about what you need to do to be saved. I think Luther said it best, I cannot blind my own reason or strength believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him, but the Holy Spirit calls me by the gospel. God gives gifts within the church, not only to give you forgiveness, but also to strengthen your faith, namely the Lord's Supper. To strengthen your faith when all those doubts creep in and all those voices speak around you and you stop listening to the voice of Christ. In Philippians we read the words, he that has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter we read the words, kept by your own power, but you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Trust Jesus. Be confident that through his cross and his suffering, your sins are forgiven. In spite of what you see in the mirror, in spite of what you hear from others, realize that through faith in him, you are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.